Lesson number 20, 1 Samuel chapter 25. We have a few more chapters to go through. 31 chapters in the book, and we will cover chapter 25 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 25. I believe there's extra handouts in the back. Kathy will grab them. Thank you. So only a few more chapters after today. And lesson 20, you know, there could be many different titles for today's lesson. The title says A Foolish Husband and a Wise Wife. That's one title. Another man gave this chapter the title of Beauty and the Beast. Because Abigail's a beauty and Nabal is a beast. And we're going to learn about them too today. Husband and wife, but they couldn't be more opposite, these two individuals. Abigail and Nabal. Another title could be Troublemakers and Peacemakers, because Nabal is a troublemaker, and Abigail, you will see, is the opposite of that. So there's a lot of different titles you can give to this today. The introduction says, David was only human and was about to commit sin. I mean, he was one step away from committing sin. But God sent a peacemaker his way. So the first blank is sin. He was just about to step into sin. And God intervened. And God sent a peacemaker. If you could look back and see how many times you were about to do something that you would have later regretted, but God stepped in and kept you from doing it. What a blessing. Many of us would have many more regrets in our lives if it weren't for God's intervention. So many times we're a step away from sin. I mean, we're about to do something that we know is wrong, but we're about to do it, and God intervenes and stops us from doing it. Praise the Lord for that. And that's what we're going to see this morning, how Abigail is a peacemaker. And God sent a peacemaker his way to keep him from following the flesh, because boy, David was in the flesh in this chapter. And you would have been too, I think. If you see the story and what happens here with David and Nabal, you would have been in the flesh. But God has a way of keeping us from sin. Now look at what the Bible says in Matthew 5:9 about peacemakers. If there's one thing we learn from today, it's that we need to be peacemakers. Matthew 5, verse 9. Familiar verse in the Beatitudes where Jesus says, Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. And that word blessed means happy. You want to be a happy Christian. One way is you can focus on being a peacemaker instead of what most people are, troublemakers. There's a lot of troublemakers in the world, and we need more peacemakers. So David was only human. He was about to commit sin, but God sent a peacemaker, and we need to be that way. Number one, we'll start with Nabal, and it's the foolishness of Nabal. Nabal, there's no other word for it, was a fool. The foolishness of Nabal. And that's in 1 Samuel 25. And we start at verse 1, and first the Bible tells us here something very eventful, something very important. Because this ends something that had been going on for many years. And that's verse 1 where it says, and Samuel died. Samuel was a great leader. Samuel was a great man of God. And Samuel was the last judge of Israel. Okay, the period of the judges, the book of Judges, where we meet people like Gideon and people like Samson and all the other names that you could think of in the book of Judges. Well, Samuel was the last judge, and he dies. So that's letter A. The death of Samuel marked the end of an era. A complete era in Israel's history is now over. No more judges. Because Israel asked for a king, and God gave him what they wanted, and he's still on the throne. His name is Saul. But Samuel died, it said, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him. I mean, he was a well-loved man. And they buried him in the house of Ramah. You see, he was well-loved, so he got respected when he died. He got well-honored after his death, because he lived a godly life. That's what you want to do. You want to live your life in such a way that when God takes you home, people will remember all the good that you've done for the Lord. You see, that's how you want to be remembered. You don't want to be one of those that are, oh, well, you know, we don't. What do we remember them for? And nothing good. Well, that's sad when somebody passes away and you don't remember them for anything good. But Samuel was well honored. It says, all Israel gathered together. And everybody lamented him. And they buried him in a house, in his house in Ramah. And then it says, David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Then we meet in verse 2. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. The man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now you stop there and you say, wow, what a... I wish I could be like him. He's a wealthy man. He has whatever he wants. He's living in luxury. So letter B, Nabal was a man of great wealth. He was a man of great wealth. He had all the money you could want. Big house, I'm sure. Many sheep. Okay, many animals. He was a man of great wealth. In present day life, he would be a man with a big mansion. And he'd be a man with many different vehicles in the driveway. You know, one for each day of the week. Like you see some of these people on TV, they got a Ferrari, a Porsche, a Lamborghini, a Mercedes. You know, they got a different car for each day of the week. Yeah, we have many vehicles in the church driveway. Big old bus in the driveway here. But this man, he was very wealthy. Now, letter C, though, this is the sad truth, and this is true of Nabal. Sometimes the wealthiest of people can be the most selfish. Isn't that sad? Sometimes it's the wealthy people that are the most selfish. And the people that don't have as much are the most generous. Isn't that amazing? Look at 1 Timothy. Paul told Timothy about this. 1 Timothy 6. It is not a sin to be wealthy. God blesses some people with wealth, but He gives them higher accountability. Because to whom much is given, the Bible says, much will be required. The more you have, the more you're accountable for. So God holds them accountable for what they have. So it's not a sin to be wealthy, it's what they do with that wealth. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, the Bible says this, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. So if God has blessed you with wealth, don't be proud about it. Realize God gave it to you. It's not because you're more special than the next person. God loves us all the same. He just blesses some with more than others. So don't be high-minded. Nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't put your trust in that wealth because you could lose it quicker than you got it. Right? But in the living God. Put your trust in the living God. Whether you have much or little, your trust should be in the living God. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. See, He gives it to us. Look at verse 18. What should they do with their money? That they do good. That they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. Share the wealth. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, give it all away, as some people would say, well, we need to take from the rich and give to the poor, that type of thing. We're going to take their money from them. No, but they should be willing to share and give to things, people that need, willing to communicate. And then verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Lay up treasures in heaven. That money is not for them to hoard for themselves, but to use for God's glory. See? So that is what they ought to do. But Nabal, back in 1 Samuel 25, did not do that. Verse 3. It says, now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and a beautiful countenance. So she was a beautiful woman, and she was very wise. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. Complete opposites. Here's a wise, beautiful woman, and here's an evil, foolish man. I don't know how these two got together. I don't know if it was an arranged marriage, or I have no idea what happened, but somehow these two got paired up, and they were complete opposites. Brother Sabo?
Well,
we don't know. I mean, you know, we have no idea. The Bible doesn't give us the background. We could speculate. But letter D, we do see this. Letter D, even a foolish man can get a wise wife at times. Letter D, even a foolish man can get a wise wife at times. We won't ask for any other comments there. But you know, God blesses. If you have a wise wife, gentlemen, that is a blessing from the Lord. Look at what the Bible says about it in Proverbs 18:22. The Bible says, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." That's a blessing from God. Proverbs 31:10. So Nabal should have been counting his blessings for Abigail, but he doesn't. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. I mean, of great value. What a great value to be a wise wife, a godly wife. Now Nabal, he obviously wasn't counting his blessings. He was an evil man. Back in 1 Samuel 25:4 says that David here heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. So David hears about this man Nabal. Now mind this. David and his 600 men have been at work. They have been fighting Philistines. They have been protecting little villages while Saul's out doing his separate things. David and his mighty men are out fighting Philistines. That happened in chapter 24. Remember we read how David went up and fought against the Philistines and protected cities. So really, Nabal has been benefiting from David. Alright, because David's been protecting Nabal. Because had David and his men not fought against the Philistines, they would have came right in and taken Nabal's sheep. Because that's what they were doing. They were plundering Israel's cities. And they were going in. So David hears of Nabal and says, you know what? Maybe this guy will help us out. He's a wealthy man. We're not going to ask for much. Verse 5. David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young man, get you up unto Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And David came in peace. David was not looking for any trouble. Verse 7. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds were with us. We hurt them not, neither was that there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. David says, gentlemen, I want you to go meet Nabal, and I want you to go talk to him and say, David sent us to you. And mind you, David, and your shepherds have been dwelling amongst us, and we haven't taken anything from you. We've been kind, we've protected you. Do you think you could spare a little something and help us out? Because remember, David's living on the run. David's living in caves. He needs some help. And David's God's man. David is God's man. And David's been doing the work of the Lord. So he says, let's see if Nabal would help us out. So letter E, David did good towards Nabal by protecting his property. He did good by protecting his property. David was not a selfish man. David was not a greedy man. He did not demand anything. He just asked nicely. He said, would you help us out? Give us a little donation. You know, we have a little bit of a need here. Now, verse 8. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes. For we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh into thine hand to thy servant, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake unto Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. And that leads us to a question, letter F. How do we treat those who come to us with genuine needs? How do we treat those who come to us with genuine needs? And we have the ability to help. How do we treat them? Turn them away? Look at what Proverbs chapter 3 says. Because there will be people that will come to you in genuine need. How do we treat them? Proverbs 3, verse number 27. See what the Bible says here? Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. When you have the ability to help somebody, God says, don't withhold it. Verse 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Do not send them away and say, well, maybe another day. Verse 29. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. You know, we should be ones that are willing to help when we have the ability to. When we have the ability to. Again, get the picture here. Nabal has more than you can imagine. I mean, more than he could ever use. And here's David in genuine need. So this is a great opportunity, right? Nabal can help, and it won't hurt him. Nabal's so wealthy, Nabal can just give and help. Well, verse 10 of 1 Samuel 25. Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away for every man from his master." Oh, verse 10. Who? David? Oh, listen, there's a lot of guys that break away from the master. What he is talking about here is how David is running away from Saul. And says, "Oh, you're just another one of those runaways, David." Nabal knew who David was. He talks about him. He says he's the son of Jesse. So he knows he knows David's dad. He says, "Oh, you're the son of Jesse." And he says, "You're the guy that ran away from your master. You ran away from Saul. You're just another runaway looking for a handout." That's what he says to David. "You're just another runaway looking for a free handout." Verse 11, "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh?" He's got the me, my, I problem, right? Me, mine. Selfish man. He says, "Shall I take all my things that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" Oof. So Nabal, letter G, disrespected David. And said, "I'm not going to give this guy anything. He's a runaway looking for a free handout. And this is all my stuff. I'm not giving it to somebody just running around town." So Nabal disrespected David. Completely disrespected him. And you don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 17:13 says this, "Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house." Nabal's rewarding evil for good. Remember, David protected Nabal. And Nabal's not going to help him out. So the foolishness of Nabal. Now, how does David react? Well, number two, here we go. Number two, the fury. The fury of David. The Bible says David had red hair. And sometimes they say redheads have hot tempers. I don't know how true that is, but... But David's temper is going to come out. Verse 12. David's not too happy here. Verse 12. So 1 Samuel 25, 12. "So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told them all those things. And David said unto the men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, 200 abode by the stuff." There was no, let's think about this. There was no, let's pray about this. Nope, guys, grab your swords, we're going. No, that was it. I mean, this was anger. So letter A, first mistake for David. Here, David neglects prayer. David neglects prayer. That's mistake number one, always. That's always mistake number one. That's when we always get in trouble. We neglect prayer. We just act on impulse. David neglects prayer and acts on impulse. Just impulsively reacting. He doesn't stop for a moment. He doesn't go for a walk and try to cool down. He just grabs a sword. And that's always dangerous. And the Bible says this in letter B. James 1:20, letter B. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Letter B, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Don't think that you're doing God some favor by being angry at somebody else or this and that. "Well, I'm going to show them justice," or I'm going to be God's tool of judgment for that person. No, don't. That's not your place. So David here neglects prayer, acts on impulse, and is filled with wrath. This is not the way to handle a situation, acting in anger. Somebody does something to you, it's best to just cool off, pray, relax. So that's just real quickly there. We see David's angry. We're going to read a few more verses. But then number three, we're going to meet somebody else. Number three, we see the foresight of Abigail. The foresight. She has the foresight that others were lacking here. And this is where Abigail is the shining gem in this whole story. Here's where Abigail is the one that rescues David from sin. Because she has the foresight. She looks ahead and sees what's happening and she intervenes. Verse 14, we see the servants come. One of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were convenient with them, or conversant with them, when we were in the fields." The servant comes to Abigail. Abigail, Nabal just railed on David's servants, and really, David's been good to us. This isn't right. So one of the servants goes to Abigail. Abigail must have had a reputation of being a level-headed woman whom people could talk to, because the servant runs to her. The servant says, "Abigail, we got a problem. Nabal's acting foolish again." Obviously, Nabal had his reputation as well. "Nabal's back at it. We need you. We need your help." So verse 16, he continues, "They were a wall unto us both by night and day. They protected us all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep." Here's shepherds. Now, shepherds are not soldiers. Shepherds are defenseless. Shepherds usually don't carry swords. Shepherds carry what they need to take care of the sheep. David's soldiers, though, surrounded those shepherds. And the shepherds said, "David's men were like a wall around us. They protected us. We could sleep at night in peace, knowing that David's soldiers were there. And we could rest at peace." So they were thankful. These soldiers were thankful. And verse 17, "Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." Belial means worthless. This servant is a wise servant. It says, "Abigail, you know Nabal's a fool. And Nabal's bringing trouble to us because David's not going to just sit back with this." So letter A, the servants of Nabal knew David was a righteous man. The servants of Nabal knew David was a righteous man. They said, "David's a good man. He should not be treated this way." Proverbs 20:11, I'll read it to you, says this, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." Just like children are known for how they behave. And listen, we all know, you know, certain kids behave and others, you know, you have a little more trouble with, right? They're known by their behavior. Guess what? So are adults. No different. So are adults. We're known by our behavior. And David was known for good behavior. So here the servant knew. Now in verse 18, Abigail, it says, made haste. She knew, we got to do something. So verse 18, "Abigail made haste, took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parsed corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses." Verse 19, "And she said unto her servants, Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. This was all undercover. She's smart. Verse 20, "And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them." Now verse 21, "Now David had said, Surely in vain I've kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good." David's just fuming at the nerve of this guy. "I helped him. Our soldiers protected their shepherds, and this guy can't even spare a little bit of food for me." David's upset. But here comes Abigail, verse 22. He says, look what he says. He says, and this is David speaking to himself, "So and more also do God unto the enemies of David. If I leave all that pertain unto him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall." I'm going to kill everybody, David says. That's it. He says, I'm going to wipe them out. Nabal, all the people are going to be wiped out. But, verse 23, "And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And she fell at his feet and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, seeing that the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal." And she brings this gift. And you know what letter B, the Bible says, a gift in secret pacifieth anger. A gift in secret pacifieth anger. She comes to pacify David. She comes bringing a gift. She's trying to calm him down. And she brings all this food. She says, I am so sorry, David. I was not there when your servants came. Please pardon my foolish husband for his folly. His name is Nabal, and that's what Nabal means, fool. She said he's playing the part of his name. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes you look up what your name means. Some of it might not be something good, but it doesn't mean you have to live up to that. All right? But you know, here's Nabal. His name means fool. All right, Brother Paul?
I was going to say that Paul means little
one. Okay. Not every Paul is a little one, right? Our daughter's name is Natalie. And Natalie means born on Christmas. She wasn't born on Christmas. We just like the name. You see, sometimes your name doesn't always match what it means, but...
Natalie.
All right? Yeah.
It's Christmas.
That's right.
Natalie. It's Christmas in
Italian. There it is, see? So, just, you know, but here Nabal's living up to his name, unfortunately for him. And she says, oh, please, pardon. Pardon the foolishness of my husband. Receive these gifts, she says in verse 27. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. Here, take this food. Please, use it as you wish. We have so much. You just take it and use it. Verse 28, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. She's talking about David. We know that you're God's man, David. I know, at least Abigail says. My husband doesn't know, but I know you're God's man. And you're fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Abigail honors David like he should have been, whereas Nabal disrespected David. So Abigail honors. And that's letter C. Unlike her husband, Abigail was filled with humility and gratefulness. She's humble. She comes in humility. She bows down before David and says, oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive my husband. She comes in humility. See, whereas Nabal, who's this David guy? He's a runaway. I'm not helping him. And he was very proud. He was not humble. And she also has gratefulness. She recognized what David was doing. She said, you're fighting the battles of the Lord. You're protecting us. And we're so thankful for you. How ungrateful so many people are. You know, it's, whether you agree or disagree with things like even such as the war that we're involved in, whether you agree or disagree, you ought to be so grateful for what those soldiers do for you. But yet, how many Americans disrespect them and treat them so terribly? How sad that is. Ungratefulness. And here Abigail is very grateful for what he was doing. And in verse 29... she also says this. She's talking about Saul now. Look at how wise she is. She sees what's going on. She's been observing. And she's able to understand the time. She knew what was happening. Verse 29. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee. She's talking about Saul. And to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine handmaid, or of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Oh, I know, she says, I know Saul's been hunting you, but God's been protecting you, David, because God has big plans for you, David. What a woman of understanding. She could look at a situation and see what was really going on with it. She knew that Saul hunting David and David being protected was really a spiritual battle that God was involved in. And in verse 30, and it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. She says, David, you're the next king, and I know it. She was a woman of faith. She was a woman that knew God's word. And in verse 31, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid. She says there in verse 31, she says, when you become king, I don't want you to regret that you shed blood unnecessarily. In other words, like coming in and killing my husband and killing everybody that works for him. She said, you don't want to regret it in verse 31, that it will be a grief unto thee or offense of heart, she says. She says at the end of the verse, when God deals with my husband, remember me. Abigail says, David, when God deals with my husband, because Abigail knew God wasn't going to let this go. She said, when God deals with my husband, remember me and show kindness unto me. So, letter D, Abigail was a woman of faith in God's word. She believed God's word. And she looked at current events and she saw God's hand. We ought to see God's hand in current events. I mean, if you can't, then you're just not looking good enough. You're not reading the Bible. Everything that's happening in the news and everything that's going on in our country and internationally, you got to see God's hand in it all. That this is all, the chessboard is being is set. The stage is set. The pieces are all in place for everything that the Bible talks about to happen. So you got to see God's hand in everything. And Abigail saw God's hand. And letter E, once again, we have to say it. A good wife is priceless. Oh, if Nabal knew what he had. A good wife is priceless. And we won't look at those verses, but you can look them up. Talking about a wise wife, and that's what Abigail was. Now, thankfully, we come to number 4, the faithfulness of God. So we've seen the foolishness of Nabal, the fury of David, the foresight of Abigail, and number 4, the faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness. God is the one that's really stepping in here. And verse 32, David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath sent thee this day to meet me." Oh, thank the Lord, he says, that God sent you to me, because I tell you what, if you hadn't stopped me, bad things would have happened. And that's letter A. It is a blessing when a believer confronts us and keeps us from going into sin or giving into sin. Wow. Be thankful. Somebody steps in front of you and says, "You know what? I really think you ought to slow down here because you're about to make a mistake." And we ought to be thankful for that. Don't get all mad at them. "Who are you to get involved?" No, you stop and say, "Wow, you know what? You're right. You are right." Again, we don't have time to look at all these verses, but you can look them up later. Verses in the Psalm about being rebuked by somebody as being a blessing from the Lord. And how James 5 says, if you prevent somebody from sinning, you'll be blessed. That's what we want to be as peacemakers. Where you might see somebody, and you kind of, maybe you've been there before, and you know, you see where they're heading. And you can do it in a kind, gracious way. Come alongside them, put your arm around them and say, "You know, and I kind of see what you're going through right now, and I've been there, and I don't want you to head down the wrong road here." You know, maybe they're angry about something. Let's keep it relevant to this chapter. David's angry. Christians get angry, right? Christians get angry. Maybe you see somebody, you know a fellow believer in the church that seems to be mad about something, and it's just eating away at them. We're only human. We said in the beginning, David's only human. He's angry. We get angry. Somebody does something to us. You can be the one. You can be the peacemaker to come alongside the person that's angry and say, "Hey, I see what's going on here." But, you know, you give them encouraging words and say, "You know, I don't want to see you act out in anger or make a mistake or say something that you would regret or do something that you would regret." You be the peacemaker. But that means you got to walk around with your eyes open. That means you got to be looking around. You got to, no, don't go looking for trouble. "Oh, let me see who's getting in a fight so I can..." No. But keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, see what's going on, and try to be a peacemaker. Not so you can gossip about it or anything, so you can go to that person, not so you can go home and call up somebody else and say, "Did you see those two after church? And they were going at it." And no, what you should do is intervene. Be a peacemaker. So, it's a blessing when a believer confronts us. Now, for sake of time, letter B, Abigail prevented David from doing something he'd later regret. Abigail prevents David from doing something he'd later regret. And that's what people who are peacemakers do. They prevent people from doing something they'd later regret. Then we'll skip down to verse 36. Abel's in his house, and what is he doing? Drinking up a storm. That's what he's doing. Drinking away. And you know what, letter C? A sure sign of a fool is one who indulges in alcohol. That's a foolish thing, is it not? It is a foolish thing. Because the Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. And the Bible says, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Because you know what alcohol does is it makes a fool out of you. Makes you act like a fool, right? So to indulge in alcohol, to give into that, God's word says stay away from it. Now, verse 37, sad, but it says, in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, his wife told him what happened. Said, "Nabal, I have something to share with you. I want you to know I just saved your life. Because David was coming over here to kill you with his soldiers. And I intervened and stopped him from killing you." So it says, when Nabal heard those things, His heart died within him. Now, some people believe he had a heart attack right at that moment. That he had a heart attack at that moment. And it says he became as a stone. He couldn't move anymore, which happens sometimes when people have a heart attack. They're immobile. They're not able to move around. And then in verse 38, it came to pass after 10 days of unable to move, unable to talk, lying in bed, just kind of still as a stone, the Bible says, that he died. The Lord took him out. God dealt with him, see? And that's always the best way to let the battles go. And here's the sad thing. Letter D, Nabal was a man that nobody missed after he was gone. Nobody missed Nabal because he was a selfish, greedy man. And let's face it, we don't miss people like that, do we? Sad but true. Nabal was a greedy, selfish man, and he wasn't missed. Unlike in verse 1, Samuel, who was so missed. Samuel was so greatly missed after he died, and they had such an honorable service for him, memorial service, funeral service. Nabal, we don't read any of that. He died. Nobody even really cared. And then in verse 39 through 44, for sake of time, afterwards, David did remember Abigail. David caught news that Nabal died. He said, oh, hey, David, remember that guy Nabal? Yeah, he's gone. And you know what David thought? Oh, man, Abigail's a great woman. Maybe she's available for marriage now. She's available now. So letter E, Abigail was blessed with the privilege of becoming the king's wife. And she did marry David. And she became the king's wife because God rewarded her. See? God is in control. Nabal was a foolish man. He was a troublemaker. Abigail was a wise wife. She was a peacemaker. And that's what we ought to be. Again, if there's one thing we learn, we ought to be peacemakers. There's enough troublemakers in the world. We ought to be peacemakers. Ones who look to calm problems down. And also the conclusion says that the Lord knows how to bring the right people into our lives to direct us and warn us. Be thankful. Be thankful for those who come along and say, hey, you're kind of heading in the wrong direction. And they're there to help you. And you ought to receive that. So let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. And Brother Bob, would you close us in prayer?